All this week, we're looking at why more veterans are not getting connected to the benefits they might be entitled to. Michigan has consistently ranked in the bottom five states and territories when it comes to helping veterans and their families access federal VA benefits. Since 2013, we've had a state office, the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency, that has been tasked with connecting more veterans to benefits. Our next guest is critical of how the MVAA has performed that task for the last 5 years. Stephanie Zarb is an Air Force veteran who served two tours in the Middle East. From 2013 to 2017, she was a program manager at a statewide nonprofit that serves vets. Cynthia Canty sat down with Zarb to discuss her concerns.
Stephanie, briefly tell us your experience working with veterans in Michigan.
So I had the privilege of being the program manager for a nonprofit here in Michigan that served very specifically Michigan's veterans. And in the 4.5 years that I worked for that nonprofit, we helped just over 4,000 veterans connect to various benefits.
So very much on the ground working with veterans.
Very grassroots, meeting veterans where they were in their local communities, yes.
And you argue that there's a crisis in Michigan when it comes to servicing veterans in our state. And you say that crisis is due to the difficulty in accessing veteran service officers. First, explain who veteran service officers are and why they're important.
So there's a bunch of different kinds of veteran services officers. So very specifically today, we're going to talk about what we call VA accredited service officers. And these are people who have been trained to look at a veteran's service record, their military service records, their medical records, and determine what benefits they might be eligible for. And when I say benefits, I'm not just talking about VA healthcare, although that is a huge component of this process. There are so many VA programs, federal programs designed to help veterans, and it really runs the gamut. They can do everything from vocational rehabilitation benefits to help a veteran get retrained into a high-demand career field. They can help homeless veterans get connected to what we call HUD-VASH, which is sort of like Section 8 for veterans, all sorts of benefits.
So a lot of programs, but then that hits me that that can be a very complex web for someone to figure out, almost like trying to go and do your taxes by yourself without having the expertise of a CPA who knows the system. This almost strikes me it's pretty analogous.
It is. And I think, too, that putting that burden on the veteran is not only is it very complicated, but a lot of times when you're pursuing these benefits, you're going through a lot in your personal life. So it's one thing when you're doing your taxes and you do it every year and you start to learn, It's another thing when if you're a homeless veteran or an aging veteran that maybe is trying to figure out how to get nursing home care, or if you're a veteran who's just come off of active duty maybe and you're sort of dealing with that whole transition and now you have to try and figure out a very complicated, complex federal program. And on top of that, you might even not know that these benefits exist at all. So you may have no idea that they're even out there. You might not even know to go looking for them.
And you argue there are not enough of these veteran service officers. How do you know that?
Part of that is from my experience, personal experience, in trying to find a VA-accredited service officer to help my family. Myself and my husband are both veterans, as well as my father and, well, a good portion of my family are veterans. And then even just the other day, I came across the son of a veteran who was looking for a veteran service officer, and I was trying to explain to him how to go find one. And in that county, the office is only open one day a week for 4 hours. And of course, the veteran is also aging, so transportation becomes an issue. And it really drove home the point of not only do veterans not know that they need to go see service officers, but when they try to go do it, there's so many roadblocks. Some counties don't have a county office, so you have to go and try and find a service organization service officer. Other counties are only open one day a week, and if that person happens to be on vacation, there might be nobody there for a period of time. And I just think we can do better.
And it doesn't take much imagination to see how this shortage of service officers really impacts a veteran's ability to get these federal benefits.
Absolutely. You can go it alone as a veteran. You can apply, but you have to really understand this really complicated process, eligibility. And, you know, I did this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 4.5 years, and I find out about new programs I didn't know about all the time. So, you know, it's really that complicated, and it's really life-changing. If you see a good VA-accredited service officer, I've seen them do amazing things for veterans through the years.
They know how to navigate the system.
Right.
If you've just joined us, we're talking about the difficulty in trying to connect the nearly 600,000 veterans in Michigan with the federal benefits they may be entitled to. We're talking with veterans advocate Stephanie Zarb. So, Stephanie, In 2013, Governor Snyder signed an executive order that created the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency, and you were working with the veterans when this happened. What was your understanding of why the MVAA was created? Why was it needed?
The governor of the state saw that Michigan veterans were falling behind, that there was supposed to be this federal safety net to help veterans connect to services, that Michigan was really lagging behind, where we were 49th of 53 states and territories at the time, and said, okay, well, let's look at what other states are doing. A lot of other states have these types of agencies, and they're doing really well, really great, amazing things in getting veterans to connect to these benefits. So we saw a problem. We put the resources in place, a lot of resources in place, a well-funded agency to deal with this problem. We were excited in the community. We thought, finally, we are going to have, you know, this great agency. They're going to do great things. They're going to fix this problem. We're all going to work together, and we are going to take care of our veterans even better than what we're doing right now.
What about since 2013? How has the MVAA fared in making more service officers available?
We saw a small increase in grants that were being made available to the counties to hire more service officers. We saw not a whole lot of movement. And I would say when you look at, is it easier today to refer a veteran to a service officer than it was 5 years ago? The answer is no, it has not gotten better.
So there have been two Auditor General reports on the MVAA's performance. Bottom line, what were the summary conclusions of those reports?
Sort of the overall theme is that MVAA hasn't been very successful in managing these contracts that are supposed to help connect veterans with their federal benefits. And in fact, if you open that last report, February 2018, the first finding of that report is that MVAA has not managed to connect veterans with their federal benefits.
And just this past summer, a bill by Republican Representative Jason Wentworth, who once worked at the MVAA, became the law. It sets up a $2.1 million grant program to encourage Michigan counties to set up and maintain veteran service offices. Is that a good step in your view?
That is the first good step I've seen in a long time. I am so thankful to Representative Wentworth for going and doing that. Representative Wentworth and I actually have known each other for a few years, and I think his story is really inspiring. You know, so he saw this problem that we didn't have enough service officers and managed to get elected, and then in his first term managed to get this through, which is really amazing. And I think every veteran here in the state of Michigan is very lucky to have people like Representative Wentworth looking out for us. On the other hand, I don't think that an individual should have to go through the extraordinary effort of getting themselves elected to the state legislature to take care of a problem when an agency was founded to take care of a problem 5 years ago.
If you've just joined us, we're talking about the difficulty in connecting the more than 650,000 veterans in Michigan with the benefits that they're entitled to. We're talking with veterans advocate Stephanie Zarb. You touched on the Grand Rapids Home for Veterans. That debacle happened in 2016. Instances of mismanagement and neglect and abuse became public. And that seemed to shift the MVAA's focus toward veterans' homes. And the agency announced it's going to build a new veterans' home in Macomb. What do you make of that focus on veterans' homes?
Well, let's first talk about a veteran home is a nursing home for veterans. So we're talking about a nursing home. And I think when we say veteran home, sometimes that gets a little confused. Mm-hmm. There are two here currently in the state of Michigan, Grand Rapids, and then there's also another one, DJ Jacob Eddy, up in the UP. And the idea of providing nursing home care for veterans, that's something that's actually Civil War era. You know, that's when we started doing this. I'm not sure that state-run nursing homes are the future. The homes are looking at building, and you have to manage the home in perpetuity. You have to have a board that oversees the management of the home in perpetuity. And so they're very expensive. They're very complicated. And I think, honestly, we can say our track record on state-run homes isn't great. The one in Macomb, I believe, is going to have 128 beds. We have 600,000 veterans in Michigan, 128. Maybe not making the impact we could be making. The good news is there's an alternative for veterans. To me, when we look at it, there's a program through the VA called Aid in Attendance, which is a benefit that if you qualify for the state homes, you most likely, I can't guarantee it, but most likely are going to qualify for this benefit. So that's a federal government subsidy to pay for nursing home care. You can combine that with lots of different VA benefits. And then you can couple that if you have Medicare, if you have private health insurance, and you can go and procure a nursing home of your choosing. And hopefully in your hometown, too. So for me, if I have to go into the state-run homes, you know, Macomb, Grand Rapids, DJ Jacob Eddy, my family, we live in Southeast Michigan. Mm-hmm. And my hope is someday maybe my kids are going to come see me once or twice a month. I'd like to stay local, if possible. And through the VA, it is possible.
Now, lastly, the MVAA just put out its strategic plan for the next 4 years. What do you make of that vision for the next 4 years?
So now that the nursing homes have passed their latest inspection, and they actually did pretty well, I think a lot of us thought maybe now we can turn the focus back onto the service officer situation. So we look at the strategic plan, and the number one point in the strategic plan was to continue to provide care and build all these new nursing homes. The number two point in the strategic plan dealt with veteran-friendly cities initiative and database to help translate military into civilian skills. I mean, okay.
You shrugging like,
I don't know. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not sure that veterans are interested in living in veteran-friendly cities, but, okay. And then the last point in the strategic plan was that they were going to invest in their employees with more flexible work schedules and different things, more training. None of those things are bad, but what's the glaring error to me is that nowhere in that strategic plan is there any mention of trying to get more veterans connected to their federal benefits, trying to make service officers more available, hiring more of them, doing a better job of managing the contracts that oversee that. So to me, it's a real miss, and I just think we can do better for our veterans.
Do you have faith that that could happen?
Not only do I have faith that that can happen, I have 47 other states that are doing it better than we are. So I think it's pretty depressing, actually. It's pretty disheartening to see this happening, especially considering the fact that most of the veterans here in Michigan are Vietnam-era veterans. We didn't take care of them when they came home. And here's an opportunity to do the right thing. So, I'm asking, why can't we do it? Why can't we fix this?
Veterans advocate Stephanie Czar. Stephanie, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.